Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th. U.S. only. See store online for details.
Hey guys and gals, welcome to the Oklahoma Outdoors Podcast, brought to you by Arrowhead Land Company. Here you will be educated, entertained, and equipped to get more out of your outdoor experience. So hold on tight, because here we go. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Oklahoma Outdoors Podcast, and welcome to the 2024 hunting season. I'll be honest, I'm not exactly sure when this episode is going to drop, whether it's Monday the 2nd like normal, or because of the holiday, if it's going to come out on Tuesday the 3rd. Whenever it comes out, though, it will be past September 1st, which means dove season has opened, which means hunting season is here. So huge shout out for that. I started to clap, but I didn't want to, you know, hurt you guys' ears or something clapping into the microphone. So yeah, if you can't tell, I am insanely excited. The time we wait for all year, it is here, and I can't wait. And I'm going to be doing some dove hunting. We're going to talk about that in a second. But we got a really, really cool episode this week. One, I just have a ton of like personal stuff to catch you guys up on. Some things I'm going to be doing this weekend and the next couple weeks. And then after that, I was at the Southern Plains Outdoor Show over the weekend. And I took a couple microphones and my gear with me and basically recorded like 4 different mini podcasts. And so it turned out really cool, I think. Can't wait to share it with you guys. We got some really cool stuff. Got a game warden on, had the Buck Venture guys on, and a couple other awesome folks. And so very, very excited to share that with you. We'll talk about that more in just a minute. But let's go ahead and get into this coming weekend and what I got going on. Long weekend. And I'm going to be honest, I feel like I might be setting myself up for disappointment because I have so many plans for this weekend and I don't know how I'm going to get it all done. So right off the bat, it's feeder filling time. We're about a month out from the start of deer season. That's when I like to start running my feeders. So I'm going to get them all full and ready to go. When I was out there, you know, 2 weeks ago, went around, tested all the motors and checked all the feeder pins and everything like that. So they're prepped and ready to go. It's just time to actually fill them now. And so that's the plan. I'm probably just going to have them running in the evening for now, just to save myself a little time and money. So when it gets close to the season, I'll turn them on in the mornings. But for now, just going to do one feed time early afternoon and maybe just run it, you know, a little bit of extra time. So that's my plan with that. And then I've been talking about the last couple weeks, my food plots and what my plan was because they're so stinking overgrown. I think what I decided, I talked to my dad when I was driving back from the show and just kind of got his thoughts on it because they're just so darn thick. Like I'm getting some pictures in my big food plot right now of like does, and you can literally barely see the deer because they're so tall, or the weeds and stuff are so tall. And I'm just afraid if I go in there and try to like spray it and plant it, that one, I'm not going to get a very good kill because it's so thick. And then two, I'm afraid there's just going to be so much dead stuff sitting on top of all those little baby plants that they're not going to be able to pop up through and really grow. And so, and I knew, like, you don't want to spray and then immediately mow because that doesn't give the plant or the chemical enough time to kill the plant. And you also don't want to mow and then spray right away because you need those leaves for the plant to ingest that chemical. And so I think what I'm going to do is this weekend I'm going to go ahead and mow them all, and then I'm going to wait, which I'm not a very patient person. I really want to go ahead and plant them, especially with this rain we got coming. But the rain really helps my purpose, so I'm going to try to get them mowed, hopefully get a little bit of rain, and I'm hoping that rain and then the sunshine will basically kickstart the regrowth of that, you know, all the weeds and everything. And then after, you know, a couple days or a week or whatever, then I'm going to go back and spray it and plant it. So that's my plan for that. I think that'll be a good plan. Just kind of get some of that thatch down. I'm worried about having too much over those, you know, small plants. And so mow it, give it some time for that to blow away, die off, and grow back a little bit, and then spray it and plant it. So that's my plan with that. Another little piece of exciting news. I actually just found this out about an hour before I started recording here. My brother just texted me. He's like, hey, just to let you know, the dozer is over there where you've been making your duck hole. So that is awesome. Was not expecting that. So just another, you know, thing to jam into my weekend. But I'm not going to complain about it. So, yeah, I think with a couple hours on the dozer, I could make myself just the most amazing little duck hole, kill hole, whatever you want to call it. I was naming it the Mallard Murder Hole. I think that's what it'll be eventually. You know, it probably won't be that good this year because I'm still working on it. I'm still turning over dirt. I didn't get a chance to like plant anything in it this spring. But I'm hoping I can at least have the bones of it done. You know, got the culvert, get the dirt work done because, you know, I'm basically stopping up this little drainage ditch, but I don't want a thing of water that's only 15 yards wide and 300 yards long. You know, I want my nice little kill hole there. And so I need to just kind of go and kind of feather out the edges, push some dirt back, build the dam up a little bit more, and just make an awesome, like, 18-inch deep, maybe 3/4 to 1 acre type thing. You know, I can't take up all the good farm ground. But eventually, I think I'm going to wind up with just this awesome, awesome little murder hole that I can, you know, drain and plant and flood. And I think for the future, it's going to be really awesome. Like I said, this year, it may be okay. You know, maybe if I throw enough decoys out there and stuff, I can coerce some ducks in. But I don't think it's going to be like a destination this year. Whereas in the future, after I get it planted and everything, I think it could be an awesome, awesome little destination hole. So very excited about that. And then, as I mentioned earlier, it is the dove season opener on Sunday. So between all this, you know, hard work I'm doing, I'm actually going to get to have a little fun And so I think my brother's going to hunt with me. I think one of my good friends, Kelly's going to come up and hunt. And then hopefully my nieces and nephews, they are visiting my brother's sister-in-law right now, but they're planning to come back on Sunday. So hopefully Sunday evening they can come out. I think my nephew might be old enough and big enough to actually hunt a little bit. I'm not sure. I'm going to bring a 20 gauge for him just in case he wants to try it out. But yeah, so very, very excited to actually do some dove hunting. I got to do a little dove hunting last year, but because I've been going to Nebraska the last couple years, I haven't got to hunt the dove season opener in, gosh, I don't know how long, several years. So last time I was up there about 2 weeks ago, saw quite a few dove. I don't think it'll be like fantastic. I don't think it'll be lights out or anything like that. But we should have enough birds to, you know, have a little fun, make a good meal, wrap those suckers in bacon, and just have a lot of fun and kick off hunting season, like I keep saying. So super excited about that. And then the last thing is I leave for Kansas in like 2 weeks. And so last time I was up at the ranch, I kind of did a gear gathering, you know, went through all my stuff and found, you know, binoculars and spotting scope and all my clothes and kind of separated out like my warm weather and my cool weather clothes and stuff like that. So I have a lot of my stuff together, but kind of need to fine tune it and pack it away. You know, I got some Tupperware deals up there that I can put in, like big totes. And so, but I'm not sure if I'll make it back to the ranch before I leave on my trip. So this is kind of like my now or never type. You got to find all this stuff. So I got a lot to do here before I head out to the ranch. Got to get all my stuff for hunting and all the work I got to do, and then pack up all my gear there to bring it back. So just a nice, nice full time. But as I mentioned at the beginning, this is the time of year that we live for. So I'm not going to complain. I'm looking forward to it and ready to go. So, all right, that's going to do it for that portion of the podcast. We're going to switch gears here now and get into our interviews from the weekend. And just a quick heads up, I did record this live at the show, and there was also a benefit cornhole tournament going on. So you're going to hear some background noise. You're going to hear some loud slams and bangs and stuff like that. So I think it was still pretty cool. You should be able to hear everything just fine. But just wanted to warn you that that is going on while I'm doing all these interviews. So ended up doing four of them, and I'm going to switch up the order just a little bit from how I recorded them, because the first one I want to play for you guys was with Game Warden Dylan King, and he was gracious enough to come on the show, and we cover a lot of the new licensing structure that changed this year. And so I kind of wanted to put that one front and center just to make sure that people hear that and that they get the word out, because that's kind of why he was willing to come on the show, was in order to talk about that and then also do a little bit of recruitment. They're looking for some more game wardens for the state, and so if you're interested, be sure to look that up. So we're going to start with the game warden, Dylan King. Next, we're going to hear from a couple young men who started a really cool organization, Hunting God Outdoors. Three young men, and I'll let them introduce themselves, but they're just trying to get people you know, outside and in God's creation and sharing God's word through the outdoors. So it was really, really cool chatting with them. And then we also had my old friend Charles Greer on with Whitetail Fanatic Land Consulting. And so we just talked a little bit about the upcoming year, what we've been doing over the summer, just kind of a fun little chat. And then to cap things off, I was actually sitting next to the crew from Buck Ventures throughout the show. So towards the end, I got them to come over and sit down and chat with me. So Daniel McVeigh came along with Chancey Holdsworth. So they both jump on. And we took a little bit of a different approach, and we talked kind of about the industry, you know, not so much hunting related, but what it's like to, you know, produce a show and film hunts and put it all together and tell that story. And also how, you know, they talk about how to get into the industry if that's something you're interested in, because, you know, that's kind of why I started this podcast. And also, you know, I did the whole filming thing for a little while, tried to self-film and all that. And I know there's a lot of people out there who would love to try to do that. And so we kind of, you know, took a little different route, like I said, and covered kind of the behind-the-scenes type stuff. So all that to say, really, really cool episode, and I hope you guys enjoy it. If you want more stuff like this, kind of these live-type podcasts, be sure to let me know. And guys, like I said at the very beginning, hunting season is here, so I hope y'all are ready. get out there, practice with the little bit of time we have left. Enjoy God's creation and hold on tight, because we are about to be going full force into this thing. So, all right, that's going to do it for me. I've already told you guys what we're doing today. I hope y'all are ready for it. Let's get into it right now. All right, folks, we're back for another interview here, and I got Mr. Game Warden Dylan King. How you doing, Dylan?
Good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, man. And thank you for coming over here, first of all, and talking with me. And we got a lot of new law changes and stuff this year, and so you said you'd be willing to come over and talk to us about it. And so it's all right with you. Actually, first, I'll let you introduce yourself. So why don't you just tell us who you are and a little bit about you.
My name is Dylan King. I'm stationed over in Canadian County as the game warden there.
Awesome. All right. So, like I said, lots of new changes this year, especially in the licensing department. So I'm just going to turn it over to you, if that's all right, and kind of let you talk about them and just kind of some of the big changes and stuff like that.
We have a youth super combo license for the kids, anyone 18 or 17 years and younger. It's a super combo license for our residents. It's $25, and that allows them to hunt anything in Oklahoma. And it includes all the tags and licenses required. That's one of the big things, and it's really good for all the kids. They don't have to buy license per deer now. It's all included under the combo license. One of the big ones is the non-resident. Non-residents are having to purchase a hunting license now, non-resident hunting license, as well as a season-specific license, whether it be archery, muzzleloader, or rifle. Those are pretty much the big ones we have this year. Let's see what else we have.
With the regular adult license, that's different this year too now, right? It's more expensive, but it comes with all your tags, right?
Yeah. So if you buy a resident hunting license and you buy your archery license, years past you had to buy $20 for each deer you wanted to harvest. Now it's, once you buy that archery license, it covers all tags or tags during that season that you're allowed to have. So that's a good thing, and it include, I mean, it's the same with archery, your muzzleloader, and your rifle. Any deer that are allowed to be taken during that season, it covers that. So that's good.
Gotcha. And then maybe I was just behind the ball on this last year. Correct me if I'm wrong, but with a rifle, you used to just be able to kill 3 deer, but you can kill 4 deer now, right? Is that a new law, or has it been like that?
It depends on what zone you're in. So okay. Each zones are different. You're always allowed 1 antler deer, mm-hmm. and then it kind of depends on what zone you're in of how many antlerless deer you can harvest.
Gotcha.
That.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. I figured I would have heard about that, and I noticed it when I was going over the regs this year, and it seemed like it had been updated, so I just wanted to make sure.
Yes. Gotcha. One of the other things that, besides the license, is in September we're going to be opening up applications for the game warden position. So if anyone's interested in that, they should be coming out in September sometime.
Gotcha. Awesome. Okay. I got one maybe kind of random question for you, but just, you know, a lot of people see a game warden and maybe there's a little fear that, you know, gets struck in them or something. And even if you're not doing anything wrong, sometimes it makes you feel like you're doing wrong. But let's say I'm out there, whether I'm fishing, hunting, whatever, and I look over and I see you or one of your colleagues, you know, walking in my direction. What is just a good kind of action plan from, like, how can I make you comfortable? How can I not look guilty? You know, just kind of, what are some best practices, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Right, and that's a good question. I get asked that question a lot. Just kind of depends. If you're fishing, typically we're just going up there and we're going to ask you how you've been, how the fishing's been, you catching anything, and then we're going to check your license. And that's pretty much it for the fishing side of it. And like I said, we're all hunters and fishermen too, and we enjoy talking about all that kind of stuff. And so we really, truly like to see if you're catching fish. For the hunting thing, the main thing I have with it, if you have a gun, if you see me approaching, I prefer you to unload it, just a safety deal. And like I said, you can just set it down so you can free up your hands, because usually people don't have their licenses readily available. They have to dig in their pockets and get it out. And so it's not that big a deal. Like I said, that's basically it. When we come up and talk to meet hunters in the field, we're just checking licenses and making sure and seeing how their hunt's going.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh, yeah. All right. this is very random, but I was talking to a game warden one time, and he had mentioned he was walking up to somebody, and I guess they didn't have binoculars or something, and it was on private land, and they were using their scope to look at him to see. I guess they were just trying to figure out who he was or what was coming, and he did not appreciate that.
Yeah, that's not a good feeling. Yeah. I just can't imagine how many times I've been looked through a scope. Yeah. As I'm approaching someone.
Yeah.
Like I said, and we teach that in the hunter safety class for all the kids that we do. That's one of the big things we point out. Whether it's us or anybody else, I mean, it's not a good feeling for anybody.
Yeah. And then there was one other change to the license structure this year, something that I was pretty happy about. They added the bear license to the lifetime combo, correct?
They did.
Yeah, if you have a lifetime, it now includes a bear license, and it did not before.
Yeah, and all the new ones obviously purchased after July 1st, obviously included as well.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah. Awesome. You may not, I know this isn't directly tied to the game wardens, but I get asked about it a lot. I keep hearing rumblings of a potential velvet season in Oklahoma. Any news on that?
So it was in legislation last year. I don't remember how far it got, but it has been in legislation, I believe, the past 2 years. It's kind of have to see. So it'll come up again next year, I imagine. So we'll just have to see. And I think that's about February, March time when that stuff starts going around. So we'll see next year.
Gotcha. All right, one more quick kind of easy question for you. What is just kind of a couple of maybe the more common mistakes people make out there, whether it's not having a license? You know, what are some things that you guys see all the time that you may or may not have to write a ticket for, that maybe it's kind of an honest mistake, but just what are some common things y'all see?
Yeah, probably one of the most common ones related to deer hunting is people harvesting a deer and then thinking they need a license after they've already killed that deer. So they harvest a deer, then they go buy their license, then they check the deer in. It's not the right way to do it. You have to have your hunting license and whatever season, that type of license as well, before you go hunting. Honestly, that's probably the most common one we have. We get a lot of other stuff for waterfowl season, people not having plugged guns, lots of license, especially with waterfowl hunting. There's four different types of license people need to have, and not everyone can remember to have all four of them, but those are pretty common. Another one is orange. On any land in Oklahoma during a big game gun season, hunters are required to wear orange. And if you're archery hunting, you have to wear one or the other, either a head covering or the vest.
Gotcha.
Yeah, those are probably the most common ones we deal with.
Yeah. I said that was the last one, but I thought of one more while we were going there.
Go ahead.
All right, let's say I'm out there, and I know for a fact I have done something wrong, whether I just shot a deer and don't have a tag, I'm over my limit of ducks, whatever it might be, and I see you walk, I'm going to give that scenario again, and I see you walking up to me. What is the best practice then?
For me, when people are honest with me and right up front, and I don't have to, if we get into the part where we're having to interview and go down there and look through stuff and whatever we're having to do, if people are honest with me, I'm a very nice and I'm a very understanding person. So if people are honest with me, I'm pretty fair, I feel like. So, I mean, sometimes it's a big violation and you mess up. Sometimes you just have to pay the consequences.
Right.
But I still feel like what I do is pretty fair.
Yeah.
So, when people are honest to me and kind of, I don't like saying, like, tell on themselves, but that's basically kind of what they're doing. I'm pretty honest with them.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty fair with them.
Gotcha. So. Awesome. Well, Warden King, I really appreciate it and appreciate all the good information. And thank you for coming out today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Oklahoma Outdoors Podcast, and more specifically, the Southern Plains Outdoor Show. We got a big crowd coming through today. We got a lot of booths and everything set up here, and I got my first guest of the day, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves, starting over here.
Gunner Phillips.
I'm Hunter Westbury.
Roman McKeever.
All right, and I'm going to try not to screw your names up this time. So, Hunter, I'm going to let you introduce yourself and what y'all are doing here.
All right. Again, I'm Hunter Westbury. I'm with Hunting God Outdoors. We just started this thing up. It's the three of us so far. We love to hunt and fish and be outdoors. And our number one thing, we want to bring people to God while doing that. We want to use everything that we can to our advantage when it comes to bringing others to God and just doing the best we can to preach God's word and follow our mission.
Awesome, awesome. So, you know, I guess one, you kind of talked about it a little bit, just kind of your heart behind this and stuff. Obviously, you guys are obviously outdoorsmen, I assume, hunting, fishing, all that stuff. So what kind of gave you the idea to reach out to people and try to share God through the outdoors?
And it's just, like I said, it's just something that we love to do, being outdoors, hunting and fishing. And we grew up doing this together. And me and Gunner, we grew up together, and I played baseball in college with Roman. And it's just something that we all can collectively come together and do together and just have a good time, appreciate nature and God's creation. And, you know, something that really gets to me is when I'm sitting in the stand, it's somewhere where I can just feel at peace and I can talk to God, have my alone time. Everyone's different. Some people can do that at their house, but for me, it's something that I can do outdoors. And I just, one day I woke up and God called me to do it, I feel, and I'm just trying to act upon that calling.
Awesome, man. That's awesome. Roman, we'll kick it over to you for a second. What are some of the outdoor activities that you enjoy the most?
I'm a big bow hunter. I've started bow hunting when I was probably 13. And so ever since then, I've been serious about bow hunting. If I can shoot it with my bow, I'm probably going to use that instead of a gun or a muzzleloader if I can keep from it. But really anything outdoors. I love catfish. I love duck hunting. Anything I can do out there, to be honest. But ultimately, I mean, as far as activities go outdoors, I've started a TikTok page for our Hunting God Outdoors, and it's called Hunting Wisdom. And I'm able to do our daily devotions outside. And doing that, I mean, we're going to be able to see some just gorgeous scenery. And I think, to me, going and seeing, you know, sunsets or stars and just looking at God's creation and thinking that He made me as part of that. And He looked at me and said that we are made in His image. And He didn't say that with the rest of creation. So to me, I think that's one of the most beautiful things of being outdoors, is to know that God takes special pride in us.
Awesome, awesome, man. That's a great message and really, really cool. Gunner, so you and Hunter grew up together. Did y'all hunt together growing up, or was it more just baseball?
Well, we started out going to school together and playing sports. You know, we've known each other since pre-K, and so we grew up together. We're more brothers than we are friends, and we've done pretty much everything together since we've known each other. You know, we love hunting and fishing and golfing and you name it. But if it wasn't for him, I don't know where I'd be. He's done a lot for me.
Awesome. Awesome. Hunter, back to you. What about just kind of, you know, talk about your background in the outdoors and, you know, kind of how you got out there and what you like to do.
I grew up hunting. I mean, my dad, from the time I was able to walk, I remember, as far as I can remember, I was in a stand with my dad. And if I wasn't in a stand with my dad, it was with my Uncle Jimmy. And he always made sure that we had somewhere to hunt no matter what, you know. And matter of fact, I was at his place when I killed my first deer ever. I used his gun, and I was in the stand with my dad. I was lucky enough to be blessed with someone that would take me hunting and show me the outdoors. And just my dad has always been there to take me hunting, take me fishing, whatever it is I want to do out there. He's always been there to push me, and he just wants to see me succeed in everything I do. And I think that's one of the biggest things as far as my background goes. I have a huge support system behind me, and they always push me to do my best, and whatever it is I want to do, if it's in God's name, then they want me to do it.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, it's cool, you know, sitting across from talking to you guys, because I didn't really grow up in a hunting family. I've talked about this on my show quite a bit. My dad bird hunted back in the day. I also grew up in an area that didn't have a lot of deer, but for some reason, like I tell people all the time, like it was just in me for some reason. Like I don't know why. I think the main reason I got so into deer hunting is because my older brothers had a friend who took them deer hunting, and I was always the younger brother that didn't get to go. But, you know, my family, we were in ag, I had places to go, but I didn't have anybody to really teach me. So a lot of what I have learned is just through the school of hard knocks, figuring out on my own, and that's a big reason why I started this show, was to try to give, you know, guys your age an advantage that I didn't have. And so, you know, sounds like y'all kind of had somebody take you along. So let's go down the line one more time and just kind of talk. I know, Hunter, you kind of mentioned it already, but maybe we're going to start with you. Just talk about maybe kind of how you got into the outdoors, if there was somebody who kind of shepherded you along, and just kind of how you got into it.
Well, it's pretty much the same way. my grandfather was a bird hunter, and he didn't really hunt anything else. And my dad, he started hunting and passed it down to me and showed me every step of the way, you know, from the field to the table, how it's supposed to be done. We've always believed in, if you kill an animal, you butcher it yourself. You know, you do all that yourself. You don't take it anywhere. That's the way my dad was raised, and that's the way he raised me, and I just fell in love with it and could do it every day.
Awesome. And here you are. Roman, how about you?
Yeah, pretty well. Same way. I'm pretty sure I got a BB gun probably by the time I was two, and so, I mean, bird hunting my entire life. And then I think I killed my first pig when I was five. So just being out with my family, I mean, about everybody in my house hunts, about everybody that I'm kin to does. So I grew up in it that way. When I was 12, I believe, I went on my first duck hunt with one of my cousins, and then that unleashed a new beast for me. So the duck hunting has got me hooked there, and so I'm a big, big avid duck hunter. So as soon as I fill my tags, or as soon as the second split opens up, that's all I got on my mind is hunting with my little brother. We've been able to hunt together for a lot of years now, and so being able to do that with him, I'm training up a dog this year, and so she's been really good, and I'm looking forward to hunting with her. But I mean, yeah, I mean, family, it's been a big thing. I mean, and hunting with my dad, you know, year after year, and you'd go through that transition where you begin to hunt by yourself, and that's always a little bit different. But one thing that I still do that I've always done with my dad, especially after we've taken a deer or something like that, made the shot or whatever, is immediately after we stop and we pray and we thank God for the opportunity, and we pray that it was lethal and deer's not suffering, all that. So I'm super blessed, super thankful to have my dad as not only a leader as far as the hunting goes, but a spiritual leader in my life.
Awesome. Very, very cool. Yeah, when I was y'all's age, I did a bunch of duck hunting. High school, because, again, I didn't really have a good place to deer hunt. Didn't really know what I was doing. My youth pastor actually is the one that got me into duck hunting, because I had places to go, but I didn't know what I was doing. He knew what he was doing, but he didn't have places to go, so it worked out great, and we kind of got into it together. But then, yeah, I got a little older and finally got some good places to deer hunt, and I kind of got away from it for a few years. But the last probably 2 or 3 years, I've slowly started getting back into it. Last year, I spent way too much money on it, and then, you know, it's kind of a terrible year. We just didn't have many birds down where I was, down south. But, yeah, duck hunting is something I really, really enjoy, even though you got to wake up super early, and I'm not a morning person. Awesome, guys. Well, I don't want to take up too much of y'all's time. Hunter, I'm going to go back to you one more time. If somebody's listening to this and they want to find out more about you guys, where should they go to, you know, find your content and everything?
So Hunting God Outdoors has a Facebook page and an Instagram. As of right now, Hunting God Outdoors LLC is our Facebook page, and you can find us at h.g.outdoors on Instagram. We will be starting a YouTube channel soon. As soon as we can get some footage going, we'll have that up. And also Hunting Wisdom on TikTok is where we will do our daily devotions, and you'll also see those shared on Facebook. So that's pretty much it for as far as our social media goes as of right now.
Awesome, guys. Man, I really appreciate y'all coming out here. I really appreciate what you're doing, and I hope you have a good time.
I've got one more thing.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Guys, y'all have to get on the buck seduction. That stuff is crazy. Go get y'all some.
Yeah, they're sitting right here next to us, and yeah, that's a big part of the reason why we're all here today. So, yeah. Man, guys, I appreciate it. Best of luck to y'all, and thank y'all for coming on.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Hey, folks, welcome back to the Southern Plains Outdoor Show, and I got Mr. Charles Greer with me. How you doing, Charles?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Ah, man, it's good to see you. Love running into your shows. I know you've been on my show a couple times, and just out here having some fun. I should have explained it when I did the last one. If you hear any slamming in the background, there's a cornhole tournament going on. So that's what's going on, and obviously we're recording live or semi-live, and so any random noises, that's why. So, but anyway, Charles, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. Good to be back.
Yeah, you said you were working early this morning, so you're nice and enthralled and awake and all that good stuff, right?
That's it. It's 1 o'clock.
That's right. Well, man, you were showing me a couple good deer before we got started here. Anyone in particular got you excited this year?
Yeah, we've got a big bully buck. He's about an 8-point, big wide one. he's got to go.
Yeah.
Before he runs off all the smaller ones.
Yep. We were also kind of talking about our complaints with our food plots this year. I've talked about it. I didn't get mine sprayed good enough. I didn't do good enough weed control, and it's completely grown over. I was up there a few weeks ago. You can barely see the deer in some of my pictures because the weeds are up so tall. Granted, not all those are bad. You know, a lot of people hear that word weed and automatically think negative, but a lot of that stuff is what deer eats. But you were saying you've got yours in a little later this year, but still looking pretty good?
Yeah, I got mine in the end of June there, and got sorghum buckwheat and a little bit of soybeans, but not very much. Soybeans didn't make, buckwheat didn't make. Sorghum's coming up good. It's pretty thick. I think we're going to, this fall, we'll end up just broadcasting oats and wheat in it.
Yeah.
And we won't terminate it. Deer don't really touch sorghum during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of a fall food for them anyways.
Yeah.
Between them and the dove and all the other things.
Yeah. The last few years, I have wanted to plant some sorghum. I was going to use it more as a screen. Just, you know, grows nice and thick and tall. Basically corn. For people who don't know what we're talking about, it's basically corn without corn. Big tall plant like that, but my dad and brother, they plant it for hay, you know, and so I have access to free seed. I just normally don't have the time to go back there and actually plant it, but I know deer will eat it. It's interesting that you said they don't eat it when it's hot. When is it best? I guess fall hunting season time?
From my understanding, when the seed heads completely mature and the plants start drying up, that's when they'll come in and start hitting it.
Gotcha.
We're fixing to find out this fall.
yeah. And you said when it does come time to fall, you're not going to terminate it. You're just going to broadcast right into it?
We'll just broadcast right into it.
Nice.
Hopefully it'll grow.
Yeah.
It may not, but we'll find out.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to do with my soybeans last year. But, you know, last year, about mid-June, the rain turned off and just never turned back on. I don't know if we got a good rain till like October after that. And so between the dry conditions and the deer pressure, they didn't make. So I ended up, I wouldn't even say I terminated them. They were gone. There was nothing left to begin with. But
well, that's kind of the situation we had this year, is we had all that rain during the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And so we was late getting in there to plant, and it just quit raining.
Yeah.
Spigot turned off and there wasn't anything for a few weeks, so I think a lot of my seed probably burned up on top of the ground.
Yeah,
just didn't get good seed soil contact.
Mm-hmm.
If I'd have drilled it in, it probably would have made better, but it's all right.
Yeah. Here's a question for a habitat guy. You know, I think being as far south as we are in Oklahoma, and so much of what people, so much advice that people get, in especially in the deer hunting world, comes out of the Midwest, much further north. Different soils, different climate. And up there, you hear a lot of people planting their food plots, like right now, like in August, mid-August, late August. And me personally, I mean, again, from the school of hard knocks, I've decided that is not a good idea because it is very hot down here, no rain in sight. But I know a lot of people are always worried because they think that they want a, you know, 2 foot tall, lush green food plot October 1st, and that's what they're going for. That's why they're planting early. But in your opinion, down where we are, what is a good time frame to plant a fall plot?
I'm looking at right around Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
First rain right around Labor Day is whenever I want to get my stuff in the ground.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's growing first day of October.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for the late food.
Yeah.
Actually, whenever everything's kind of dried out from winter and they're looking for food.
Yeah. So. Yeah, you know, we have an advantage here in Oklahoma because we can bait. You know, we can use feeders, corn feeders, protein feeders, whatever. So I would say in like this time of year, there's still a ton of natural browse. So just like what you were just saying, I think it's a lot more important to have that food later when all that natural stuff starts going away, whether it's eaten up or just dies or whatever. I've planted my fall plot as late as early October. A lot of that usually just comes down to time. You know, if I do a hunt in September or whatever. And a big part of that is also rain. You know, if it's not raining, I usually don't want to plant anything. So for anybody listening, maybe they're looking for a nice, simple fall food plot, what would be your go-to?
A nice, simple fall food plot is just go get some throw and grow off the store shelf.
Yeah.
That stuff will grow.
Yeah.
But just make sure it gets sun.
Yeah.
That's the big key. You can't be planted in the woods. If you don't have sun, it's not growing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's about the simplest one, but if you, another than just get some buckwheat, mm-hmm. deer will eat buckwheat.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever you want to put on the ground, really.
Yeah.
pretty much, because they'll eat just about anything.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I like to try to get a little bit of diversity in there. I've experimented back and forth. You know, I think cheapest, simplest thing where we're at, probably just, yeah, like you said, you know, wheat. I've experimented with oats, because I had seed from my dad and brother for the cows and back when I was ranching too. In my experience, the deer don't like oats quite as much, but you get more growth out of it. Like it'll, you know, if after a freeze, if it warms up a little bit, oat will grow again. And so for me, I would like to mix those two. You get kind of the attraction of the wheat and the hardy growth of the oats. So I really like mixing those two. Sorry, we got a very excited young one over here. And then, yeah, a lot of times, like Tractor Supply or Atwoods or whatever, they usually sell those little jugs of, like, turnips and radishes and stuff like that. I'll normally buy a jug of those and just go throw it out on top of the ground. And usually that stuff, you know, it doesn't need a whole lot of soil to see contact. That stuff usually goes pretty good.
That's it. But the key to any food plot is you just need to make sure your soil's good. Mm-hmm. If not, you're just throwing your money away.
Yeah.
Hoping it grows.
Yeah.
Just do a simple soil test.
Yeah.
Here in Oklahoma, all the Ag Extension offices do them. Just get you a bag full of soil and take it in there, and I think it's $10 or $15.
Mm-hmm.
Be back in a couple weeks, and that tells you what you need to do to your soil to get it done.
Yeah.
A lot of the plants will do it.
Yeah.
You know.
Sorry, throwing bags again. Lunch break's over. Awesome. Well, Charles, if somebody hears this and they want to reach out to you, maybe have you come look at their property or something like that, where do they need to reach you at?
Yeah, you can find me on social media. We've got the TikTok page and Facebook and all that. Just Whitetail Fanatics Land Consultants. Phone number is 443-545-4527. I'm available just about any time. If you got questions, just call, ask.
Awesome, man. Charles, I appreciate you coming on, and we'll see you around the show.
All right, man, appreciate it.
Hey, folks, welcome back. We got the Buck Venture Boys here. We're here with Daniel and Chansey. How y'all doing today?
Doing good, man. Blessed to be here.
Good. Yeah,
absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
Good. I'll let y'all kind of introduce yourselves real quick. Let's start with you, Daniel.
Yeah, I'm Daniel McVeigh. I'm co-host of Buck Ventures. I've been in Buck Ventures for 21 years now. So just been a blessing. We've hunted a lot of big deer across the country and a lot of places, and hopefully many more to come.
Awesome.
Yep, absolutely. My name is Chansey Holdsworth. I'm the newbie. I've only been here for about 4 years. So, but man, what a blessing it's been. What a good ride.
Awesome. And I kind of mentioned before we started recording here, might take this a little bit different direction. We're here, you know, with media and stuff, and you guys, you know, spend a lot of time in front of the camera. And I know, especially me when I was younger, and I think a lot of people that come to these shows and stuff, they see that and they kind of see the highlights and the glorified version of it, and they dream of being on TV someday. But I kind of wanted to take a little bit different approach and talk about kind of the behind the scenes and what that takes, because I've done some filming in the past, and I know
sure.
It's not easy. And so why don't y'all just kind of walk us through maybe a little bit of the behind the scenes, like what does it take to put together a filmed hunt?
That's obviously a loaded question, but I would say, you know, typically when you see a, what is it, Chansey, 22 minutes?
22 minutes.
So 22 minutes is actually what goes to airtime, you know, and sometimes you're lucky if you've only got 12 to 14 minutes of that. So to create that content sometimes can take 60 days, and that's what people don't realize is in the field time, especially the way we do it a little bit, we manage our own ground, grow our own deer. We're not kind of getting put in a tree stand. We hang our own stuff, you know. So the amount of time, especially when we call it big buck work, the stuff that goes on during the summer that people don't see in the behind the scenes. I mean, to shoot one deer, sometimes he might have 90 days that year dedicated just to him. And so that's a lot of it that you don't really see. And nowadays too, it's not as simple as it was when we first started. It was just an old camera, an old GL, you point and clicked, and as long as you got it on film, you were doing something.
Yeah.
A lot of times now we've got four different angles in the tree, and you know, all the stuff that leads up to it just takes hours upon hours, and sometimes it can be pretty tough.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of what Daniel's saying is, you know, it might take that 60 days. It might take just one sit, right? Because the thing is, you know, we're hunting these wild deer just like everybody else. You know, there's a lot of times people watch our show and, you know, it is 22 minutes. It's just a quick, and it's like, man, that was easy. But well, sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. You know, I mean, we're hunting these wild deer, and I'll just tell you, it's hard enough to get on these mature deer year after year, just as it is. And then you put the filming aspect into it, telling the story, kind of what Daniel's saying. You know, four angles in the tree, just trying to capture everything. You know, I mean, it's definitely difficult, but it's been fun.
Yeah. And y'all would know this better than I. I'm kind of looking at it from the viewer side, but I feel like hunting media, and especially in the whitetail world, has changed a little bit in the past 10, 15 years. Whereas, you know, I remember as a kid watching a hunting show on TV, and in a, you know, 30-minute episode, they may show four or five different kills. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, the camera came on, the guy might do a 10-second interview in the stand, and then all of a sudden the deer's there and he shoots it and they're closing it out. And nowadays, I think things have morphed into more of the story, like you were mentioning.
It's more of a production now than than it was in the past.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of the, you know, Realtree Monster Buck still does, you know, like a lot of what you're talking about. They want to show a lot of hunts all put together. So it's basically you're in the tree that particular day. Here comes the buck. You shoot the buck and you move on. But the storyboarding now with, I mean, I call it the reality TV age that we're kind of in. You know, that's what people want. That's the stuff that they want. So being able to see it, storyboard it, and you know, and I think for us, we've been as much educational and tried to be as we can. And so we want to try to show the steps and how we did it so that, I mean, so we can help somebody because, you know, we've made mistake after mistake after mistake for years. We might as well try to help somebody else learn. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I again, as a viewer, I really appreciate that aspect, the education, because mm-hmm. That's what I found myself being drawn to, was the education side, because, yeah, it's fun to watch somebody shoot a big buck, but if they don't tell you how they did it, that doesn't help me go shoot a big buck, you
sure.
know, and that's
yeah.
what I'm trying to do, that's yeah. why I'm watching, that's why I'm interested mm-hmm. in it, so, yeah, I appreciate that side of it also. Chancey, you're kind of the newer guy. What has it been like for you kind of diving into this world and you know, having a camera with you and stuff like that?
Yeah, man, you know, it's being in the industry and in the hunting industry is something I've always wanted to do my whole life. You know, I was just talking to a guy earlier, you know, kind of telling my story, and, you know, it's kind of luck that I've been here, but at the same time, like I don't want to call it luck because everything's done by the Lord. You know, it's just crazy how, you know, all the pieces fit together. Coming from Southeast Indiana, you know, kind of using the network and just, you know, making relationships, ending up here, you know, it's been really neat to, you know, kind of step behind the curtain per se and really dive in the world of, you know, outdoor television. It's been an absolute dream come true, and definitely wouldn't trade it for anything.
Gotcha. I don't want to take up too much of y'all's time, but I'm going to ask you each one question. Y'all can answer however you want to. But, you know, for people listening out there, whether they're new hunter, experienced hunter, if you could give one tip to somebody, what would that be?
Have fun. That would probably be the most important thing. And even with what we do a lot of times, because it is our job, it can sap the joy out of it a little bit sometimes. And you kind of get burnt out, and things are easy to get burnt out on nowadays. And so I would just tell everybody, just be who you are and have fun. I mean, you don't have to shoot a big deer. If you don't want to shoot a big deer, don't shoot a big deer. If you want to shoot a small deer, if you want to shoot a doe, it's fine. Just be who you are and have fun with it. And as long as you're having fun, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks.
He took the words right out of my mouth. You know, growing up, I kind of put my pressure on myself to, you know, shoot a certain deer. But at the same time, like, it's just the experiences that will make you a better hunter. And, you know, there is a lot of really great information out there on YouTube. You know, all like there is a lot of great information to learn how to, you know, become a better hunter. But at the end of the day, just like what Daniel said, I mean, it's all about getting out there, getting that experiences, getting some bloody arrows, and just having fun and enjoying the outdoors.
Yeah, because I would say, I've been doing this a long time, and I've been blessed and shot a lot of tremendous deer. Some of my fondest and deepest memories were when I first started shooting a random 4-point to come by, and the excitement and what that was, and the camp with my family and the stuff that like that you can't replace. And I look back upon that in the fun stuff. Just remember the fun stuff.
Yeah. I lied earlier. I got one more question for y'all.
Yeah.
I've done that a lot during this process.
Yeah.
But let's say somebody's at home and they've watched your shows and they're like, hey, I want to do that. If you could give somebody some advice on maybe how to break into the industry or get started, what would that advice be?
Oh, that's tough. And the reason that's tough is because, you know, especially here, the past few years, you know, YouTube has really come onto the scene. Social media has come onto the scene. I've got two ideas here. Number one is just go out and do it. Go out and create content, right? Like, if you want to be in the outdoor space, you don't have to wait until you have a big following. You don't have to wait until you do quote-unquote really high-level production. I think just going out and just doing it and not caring what anybody thinks, just doing what you love. Another good way, and which is how I got started with Buck Ventures, actually, is, there are several pro staffs around the country. We have a pro staff. We have a pro staff, about 300 guys around the country. And I know for a lot of people, that is a really good stepping stone to at least get your foot into the door to the hunting industry, if that's what you want to do.
And also, to tip on that, is production. Learning how to run a camera, there's a lot of jobs out there available for editing, production, and that side, and that allows you to get your foot in the door. Everybody wants to hunt, you know, I mean, per se, or be in front of the camera. But, you know, that's not the easiest thing to break into. But everybody, chance you can tell you, there's so many people that need field producers and cameramen and you know, in-house production. And now, like you said, with social media, trying to create that content, you look at, I mean, he started as a cameraman. Whitney was pro staff, but how she got her foot in the door, now she's handling our handling our social media stuff and doing the editing. And so there's so many avenues for it, because the content takes so much work to create, it helps get your foot in the door.
That's
too.
Right.
Gotcha. Awesome. All right, I won't lie again. I'll go ahead and let you guys go. But yep. Hey, thank you guys for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
There we go, folks. Big shout out to all the guests that we had on this week. And I should have done this at the beginning. Big shout out to the folks from the Southern Plains Outdoor Show. Thank you guys for having us out. It was a ton of fun. Ate some good food. They gave away a ton of prizes. I, of course, did not win any of those, but gave away a ton of prizes and raised a lot of money for a really good cause. So thank you all for having us out. Man, if you're listening to this, I know I keep saying it this episode, but hunting season is here. It's the time we look forward to. So get out there, enjoy it. Use what little time we have left before deer season gets here to shoot your bow, shoot your muzzleloader, your gun, your crossbow, whatever it might be. Get out there, practice, practice, practice. And until next week, I will see y'all right back here on the Oklahoma Outdoors Podcast.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.